Father in heaven, we thank you again for the precious word of God, and Lord, for the melody and songs that are written around that. It blesses our heart and tells us about things of the future, what we should be doing now, and what you've done for us in the past. We're grateful for that. Now, we do ask that you'd help us open this book again. We recognize our inability to understand it without the Holy Spirit of God. We realize we must yield to you, no matter how much we study it. Lord, it doesn't do any good much unless it's sanctioned by prayer and walking with you and submitted to the Spirit of God. So help us today. Learn something. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bible, first of all, and turn with me to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. I'm going to read rapidly because I have a number of verses. Some of these I'll refer to, some will read. It says in verse 1, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting, my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with my ways, for there is not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hands upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether that I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to the heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. And that's the place of departed spirits, what that means. It takes the wings of the morning and dwelleth in the uttermost parts of the sea. Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee. But the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully, wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that thy soul and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. It's a term meaning setting forth in the mother's womb. Thy eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continue were fashioned, when as yet they were none of them. Before they were ever made, they were already in God's mind, in his plan and his purpose. What a joy to see. Then he says, verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me. Oh, God, how great is the sum of them. I'd say amen to that. Amen. I stand this book all the time. If I should count them, they're more in number than the sand when I wait, and I am still with thee. Psalmist David is setting forth things about God's mind before we were born, while we've been made, and then the time of our life. It's important, no matter where we're at, as far as in God's creation. If you look in Psalms 90, In 94, just over a few pages, in verse 11, that says the Bible says, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that there are vanity. If you look in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, we know, and I'll go fast, but I've got a number to give you, and you look at it later, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you look in Isaiah 55, verse 8, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. If you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, you'll find in verse 5 that God says, casting down imagination and every high thing. This is something he tells us to do, that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Cast it down. Something comes to your mind to try to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. He says, you cast it down. The only thing about it, if you're not saved, you can't really cast it down. Amen. It takes a lodge there. But he said, you cast it down to the church, even at Corinth, who's this most carnal church that there was in the Bible. And he said, it knocks against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Then in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, he talks about some things that we need to be doing in the sense of thinking on. And he gives us a number of things there to think of. And he said, find a brethren, things that are true, and I go quickly, honest, and things are just and pure and lovely and so forth. He said, think on these things. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 4, Jesus said, Jesus knows, the Bible says that Jesus knows their heart There were certain scribes there trying to trick him, and he knew their heart. In chapter 15, verse 9, Jesus said, from the heart comes evil thoughts. Again, in Hebrews 4, verse 12, the Bible says, God's word is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to speak to you this morning on this subject. Thoughts hid in the womb of your mind. Thoughts hid in the womb of your mind. We are thinking all the time. You can't talk without thinking. Try it. You just can't do it. If you don't think before you talk, your words will come out every which way. You won't have control of them. You got to think before you can talk. Now, I know some of us sometimes talk before we think. We think, but no, we think before we talk. Amen. You have to think words if you're going to talk. If not, you're not in control. One of the things about us, different from animals, as God created us in His image, we can think, we can reason, we can make decisions as far as life is concerned, no matter what it may be. I read where there's one lady said that she the doctor talked about her gaining weight, and she just thought so much of what she could do, and she said she had fought this thing so much that when she said that she was on such a strict diet that she wouldn't even listen to go into a restaurant and listen to music in a restaurant to eat where you eat at because she's thinking so much about a strict diet. In other words, even thinking of music made her grow bigger. I'm not been that bad. I'm on a diet, but I'm not been that bad as of yet. Another person said an open mind is not the same as a vacant mind. God wants us to have an open mind, not vacant. There's nothing there. And if it's vacant, anything can be put there. But if you have an open mind to listen to God, He will fill it with the things that need to be filled with. We need to be sure that we feed our mind the right thing. I read where a mother was talking about her little daughter, and she said to her daughter, came in one day and said, Mama, I said, my head hurts me. And mother said, like mothers did, was, honey, have you eaten anything today? She said, no. She said, well, the reason your head is hurting you right now, it's empty. I mean, you need something to eat. Your stomach is empty. And if you eat something, you'll feel better. And she did, and she felt better. About 2 weeks later, a pastor came by one day and was talking to mother and dad. And mother asked the pastor, said, how do you feel, Pastor? And so he said, I feel pretty good, but I got a little headache. The little girl heard it. And, of course, she didn't think like a mother thought when she mother told her. And when she heard it, she said to the pastor, spoke up to it, said, Pastor, I know what your trouble is. You don't have anything in there. My mother said, if you put something in there, you feel a whole lot better. She had it about together, but she didn't have it completely together at that time. I'm getting you to think. You're kind of slumbering right now. I read this past week that sometimes when you try to take directions, and it went this way, two wrongs will not make a right, but three rights will make a left. Thoughts hid in the womb of our mind. God has started out with Himself, and He talks about His thoughts. Amazing thing, as you think about God, thoughts are powerful in the womb of our mind. Thoughts that in turn helps us learn and set goals and do the things that we actually do. Amazes me that God revealed that there was no mystery in the fact that He was going to save the Gentiles in the Old Testament. But He didn't tell how that mystery would unravel. You go to Romans 9, chapter 9, and chapter 10, no mystery that God was going to save Gentiles. What the mystery was, that hid in God's mind how He was going to do that. The Jews did not think that God would ever make a Gentile, which they called dogs in the Old Testament, equal with a Jew in the New Testament. And the goal was, in God's mind, hid away in God's mind was the mystery that He'd save Gentile and Jew alike in the New Covenant. And it was hard for the Jews to grasp that. He'd do that alike. He would create a body. And from that body, Jew and Gentile would be birthed into it, which Christ would be the head. That was hid in God's mind through the Old Testament until He revealed it at the time of the New Testament and when Jesus Christ came. And then the Apostle Paul wrote his epistles for the purpose that he would give in them, we'd find the doctrine and the position and the walk and the destiny of the church at that time. It amazes me today that even the nation of Israel as a whole does not see how God merged everything, Jew and Gentile, into the body of Christ. And we know the reason why God said their minds were blinded, their eyes were blinded. They can't grasp this marvelous truth that you and I have so wonderfully received through the Lord Jesus Christ. They can, these thoughts that comes to our mind can enhance your life or nourish the negative insecurity that limits us to do the works of God, or exempt us sometimes because we have negative thoughts as what those works really are. Thoughts are secret hidden behind quick smiles and sometimes professional veneers. Sometimes there's some type of, just a glance of some kind that shows that, you know, the thought is not really in line what you may be talking to someone else about. Here is our private world where others cannot invade. God can. And that's the thing. I wonder if I could see your thoughts today of this good crowd. What's going on in your mind while I'm preaching? God sees it. Everything, he sees it. I'd hope everything be good, but I bet you some of them not. Because you and I don't have control of our thoughts 100% of the time. There are things float in and out where you don't want there. And probably have done that already during this service. You've thought of something this past week that happened that you shouldn't have thought of this morning probably. I'm saying to you, it's not hard for us to begin to look at what happens in this head, in our mind, in our thoughts, when it comes to our everyday life. Thoughts hid in the womb of your mind. None of us would like of all of our thoughts played aloud for the whole world to hear. Amen. Hey, man. Because there are some things sometimes that flood our thoughts that we don't want nobody to hear. And we have to say, God, I'm sorry you had to hear or see it. We're not there yet, folks. We're not arrived as of yet. This world is full of iniquity and sin. And Satan has not slowed down one bit in these last days to try to deceive God's people and also to trick them. None of us would like our thoughts revealed. Why? Simply because it would be very uncomfortable to us. God sees the thought hid in the womb of our mind. Let me give you three quick points. This will help us. I gave you numerous verses how God reads our mind. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought something you said, I know I shouldn't have thought that, and I'm glad nobody heard it? And didn't even think about what God saw it. Not only did he hear it, he saw it. He knows exactly what we do, folks. We think about how bad it is for the government to have all these cameras everywhere. Had a person say something the other day, you can't go nowhere nowadays without being on camera somewhere or another. And I thought about it. How about that? And I think, I said, well, in my car I can. Then I noticed one day going down the street, there was a camera on the street light pole. Feminists. They're right. You can't go nowhere without being caught on a camera somewhere or not. By the way, you can't go anywhere without God knowing about it either. He knows about it all. He knows more than the government does. We think they're bad. Thank God. God is merciful. Let me give you three quick points. Number one, God teaches us to depend upon him for guidance. Because his thoughts are going to be pure, whether we like it or not. His direction is going to be pure. No one can hear God think, but we have his word here in this book. But we can feel the effect of his thoughts towards us. Jeremiah made this statement. Jeremiah chapter 20 and chapter 29, verse 11. He said, for I know the thoughts that I think. God is speaking here. He said to Israel through Jeremiah, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That's my thought. God's thoughts to us as people, to Israel and to his people today, is to give you an expected end that's pleasing to God. But there's things that hinders that. And that's what he said in Israel. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken to you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. There's the key. My thoughts are the best in the world for you, but there's got to be a response for you to seek me. And when you do, I will do what I said I'd do. Sometimes we won't do what we said we would do, but God will. And then for Psalms 139, verse 17, I read to you, God's thoughts are precious unto us. How great is the sum of them? Well, preacher, I don't want God to see my thoughts, but I'll give you this clue. God says in His document, in His word, His thoughts are precious to us. And the psalmist David said, they're the sum total of who God is towards me and towards you and I. Despair will nourish itself in your thoughts. It feeds off your inner struggle. It feeds off your despair. It feeds off of our fear. So we're not to let failure abort our dreams. We're not to let failure abort our missions and our goals. We're not to let failure avoid our working for God. Because, ladies and gentlemen, life is a series of failures and accomplishments. And if you look at your life over a period of time, you'll find there may be a lot of failures, but there's a lot of accomplishments in our life too. We've been blessed as a people. So when we serve God Almighty like we should, the ultimate end, God is going to really bless us because we serve Him. Again, He teaches us where to think on things. If you want to see those things, are set of me pure and honest and so forth, you look in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 8. So God teaches us to depend upon Him for His guidance. He will give us things to think of, which in turn will be the best for us in life. The second thing I want you to notice about these things are hid in our thoughts and our mind. What good is the praise of men if God disagrees with it? So I say, well, you know, I don't really know where God is pleased with something or not. Well, this book will tell you where He is or not. And then somebody will say, well, I can tell if some man pleases me. So if I just do what some people please me and I can see it, that's okay. Well, if it's okay with God, it'll be okay. But I'd rather please God than man. And that's what God is saying. My thoughts are not your thoughts. You got to line up with me. I'm not going to line up with you. I want you to know I got you in my mind. I want you to know I got you in my thoughts. And I've got goals for you, but I'll not do it for you automatically. You're going to have to respond and think me, and then I'll do what I know that you can do. You know, very few of us walk in the light so close to God to cause the kind of shadows for others to follow all the time. Paul said, be ye followers of me, as I'm also of Christ. But I'll tell you this, in Romans chapter 7, when he talked about the flesh in his body, he wasn't talking about following him when he was following after the flesh. And he cried, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And he said, it's through Jesus Christ. But he still said in 1 Corinthians, as he spoke to the church at Corinth, be ye followers of me, as I'm also of Christ. And so he's just saying, hey, you may find some things in my life that's not just exactly right, or maybe not from your opinion, but I'll tell you this, you follow my life pattern like from a biblical standpoint, and you'll see there's a striving towards the goal to please God biblically, and that's the only way you can please God. That's the only way we know to please God. God doesn't come to us verbally like I'm speaking to you now and tell us things, and even like Christ was in his day for 33 and a half years, the last 3.5 years of his life. But we have his word, God's word complete here to speak to our hearts, you see. And so we should walk the life that's pleasing to God. We should be the example for people to follow. But we're in the flesh. Yet we are much better than the world. I don't care where you're at. If you're saved and you're doing your, you're growing. If you're not growing, you need to be. I don't care where you're at in your life. Your life pattern will be much better for someone to follow than anyone in this world. Because there is a process of growth that God has brought us to, though you may look at our lives anytime and it'd be like a white sheet with a little black spot on it. And if you got a white sheet with a black spot, you'll see the black spot more than you see the white sheet. And that's the way the Lord looks at us. But a child of God is much better to follow if they're following Christ biblically, following God biblically, than it would be somebody in this particular world. So a cloudy, sinful heart cannot move us into the realm of faith. One thing is for sure, we may have grown up to a point, but if we have a cloudy, sinful heart as a child of God, or there's something in the heart that's hindering us to serve God, then we're not going to walk as close to God from there this way as we would have before without that there. You see, divine authority demands clarity. Satan knows that pureness of heart is necessary to see God. Why? That's what God said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. He knows it's necessary to see God's will. He knows it's necessary, actually, to understand God's word. Pureness is an important thing. Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure, they shall see God." No wonder David cried out, "Create in me a clean heart, O God," in Psalms 51:10. Create in me a pure, clean heart. The word pure simply means clean out. Don't carry what God has discarded. Don't let things come back in that which in turn have died to us since we have put them down because of new life that's in Jesus Christ our Lord. He says in Hebrews 12:1, get rid of every weight. That is, lay aside every sin that so easily besets us. God's word shows us how to do this. No wonder Satan is fighting this book. No wonder Satan fights people reading this book and studying this book, because that's the only thing that shows us what God has for us as far as the individual life. How can one see God with so many unresolved issues in their heart? What good is it praise of men if it disagrees with God? In this life, people worship, and it becomes routine and superficial because they cannot resolve the things in the heart. They go by their own natural inclination or natural thinking, and since they can pattern with so many equal to that, they think it's okay in this life. Obstacles keep us seeking man's wisdom rather than God's wisdom. And so a lot of times we make decisions based on man's wisdom. But God wants us to make decisions based on His wisdom. Where does that come from? It starts with Jesus Christ. And then it goes from there. We're like the Sunday school teacher. He was talking to a class of boys. And he asked the questions one day, a little quiz like verbal. And he asked the question, where is Solomon's temple? And the little boy thinking, nobody raised their hand. One fellow raised his hand. And he said to her, where is Solomon's temple? And he said, right there on both sides of his head. Well, he was right from his thinking, but that's secular. When I said, where is Solomon's temple? If you're saved and you know anything at all, you didn't think about this. Though that was right physically, amen? I mean, he didn't lie physically, but it was not physically that God was asking. He was asking spiritually. And where is Solomon's temple? Well, it was built in Jerusalem. And so, how many knew that? just kidding. So this is how we think, you see. Many lives become because of fantasy. It seems more exciting than reality of life. And yesterday's mistakes can cause tears today that flood our pitters tonight in turn to help us make better decisions in the tomorrow. So what good is the praise of men if God disagrees with it? But the thing about it, folks, hear me. God disagreeing is not... I'm like hitting the thing all of a sudden like. But if God disagrees with it, and man says it's okay, we need to know what God says. Because we're going to hear a man say it's okay, right? I mean, a man's going to tell us certain things okay. There's people tell you, taking drugs is okay at the end of the day when you had a hard day. No, it's not. Amen. No, it's not. You're not in control. Even alcohol, when you take a drink, you're not in control. Right. I said a long time ago, I could have been an alcoholic myself because I was raised in the mess. But when God saved me, He gave me a thought. I don't want Satan in control of me at all if I can help it. And I'm bad enough when I'm thinking good. Amen? I'm bad enough when I've got my mind clear. But if I've got my mind clouded in ways, I'm a lot worse than I am when I'm thinking clearly. I'm thinking clearly. Amen? You understand that? I say, God, please. I know sometimes I'm so down to earth that people say it's so simple. I hope I'm so simple that you can't help them understanding it. I can throw out a lot of big words. The only problem is I can't say them correctly when I throw them out. Amen. But I throw them out, I'll tell you that. But I hope I get it so simple and say, anybody can understand that. Amen. Number three, what a freedom we have to be able to change our minds. And though that thought hit in the womb of our mind. What a great freedom we have to be able to change our mind. This means that we can repent. But the unsaved person doesn't see the need to repent. He doesn't see anything to repent of. But God's people see it often. If we're growing, he see it often. Repentance means to change our mind. Be sorrowful for something before God. It means to turn from something toward something. Repentance is not just turning from something, but returning toward something, which would help better our lives. We can organize our thoughts. God helps us do that. We can overthrow that which controls us in the past. 2 Corinthians again, 10, verse 5. I read that you casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought. Where? To the obedience of Christ. Not to my understanding of obedience, but to the obedience of Christ. That's where he tells me to bring my mind to as far as this life is concerned. So in Christ, we have the power to change. For us to let the past control our thoughts is to seat ourselves where Christ should be seated. If Christ be sure, let Christ be the center. Let Christ take control by obeying his word. Here's where we're sure that we don't let the old man's thoughts, which is still on our throne. And if the old man's thoughts is on our throne, then Christ is on the cross still. But, ladies and gentlemen, if Christ is on the throne of our mind and heart, then our past is on the cross, which is a symbol of death to that. And this is what this Bible teaches us. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Paul put it, or the writer put it this way, which I believe Paul wrote this. He said, by him, verse 15, chapter 13, verse 15, I'm sorry. Chapter 13, verse 15 of Hebrews. He said, by him, by who? Jesus Christ is who he's talking about. Therefore, let us, by him, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, not just once in a while, continually, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Boy, our hearts will be and mind will be in tune with our thoughts of God then if we'll continue to give him the sacrifice of praise from our lips this side of eternity. See, God can cause the fire of assignment to remove that which hinders us from serving God. We can start out in direction and think it'd be of God, but God will bring a fire of assignment. We'll hear a message which will get within us, and suddenly that fire of assignment changes our routine, changes our direction, so that we'll get to the path that God wants us to be to serve him. Now, as I think about this thing of thoughts hidden in the womb of our mind, one of the problems today is when you talk to someone, he's talking about the Lord, and someone is not talking about the Lord, someone who knows the Lord and does not, their thought pattern is different. To them, God's no more than what they are. To us, God is more than that. He's superior. He's supreme. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He's to be believed before anybody else is to be believed. But an unsaved person don't see that. They honest to goodness think we're out of our mind. We're mythical, believing in something that's not even real, and they won't let God make it real to them. Because he's the only one can. I can't make God real to someone, but God can. How does he do that? If I speak and teach his word, he'll use his word and then use our life to follow up on that. You know, as I get older, I'm discovering how easy it is to say I don't know and be correct. Something about when you're young, you think you learn something, you know it all. Amen. The older I get, the less I know. And it amazes me how much I don't know. It bothers me sometimes, I'll tell you that. Someone said, as you get older, you begin to lose your mind. I found that to be true. But I don't seem to miss it as much as I used to. Amen. Do you? I get older, you just begin to miss your mind, and then you miss it. You don't realize you miss it and don't really care much. Because things are just different as you get older. Today's problems may not always be what they seem. And I found that to be true. Folks, you and I can't see beyond where we're looking. Sometimes we see something, boy, I know that. No, you don't. I guarantee most of the time that which we think we saw that hasn't happened yet won't happen like we thought we saw it. Amen? I read where a man walked into the psychiatrist's office, had a rooster on top of his head. He said to the psychiatrist, said, "Sir, can I help you?" And the rooster said, "Yeah, get this jerk out from under me." Amen. It wasn't like he saw it was. Someone said, "Problems are so bad today that even computers that are programmed to answer questions are asking them instead of answering them." We're looking for the best orator to speak. We're looking for that which captures us emotionally more so than theologically. I like what the dear old Brack preacher said, though, and I love this. This is down, I mean, this is broken English, but it's the greatest truth you could ever think of. He said this one day, listen to him. He said, "But what you is, be what you is, not what you ain't. Because if you ain't what you is what you ain't." Now, you write that down and study that a little bit, and you'll find out that brother had it together. Down to language where even you and I can understand it. Amen? Don't need large words for that, because that's a tremendous truth in words that he said. What a wonderful God we have. God knows our thoughts, yes, before we can unconsciously gather them together and make sense in our own mind. That amazes me. Working this message for weeks now, I was thinking, God knows my thoughts before I even get them together right to present them. As a matter of fact, it amazes me when I've got all these thoughts flooding in my mind, headed towards a goal to put them in the right direction, God already knows the direction they're going to be in if I let him use me. He'll know if it's not, if I don't let him use me. Because I don't have to get them together for him to see them to know what's going to be there. He knows beforehand. So it makes sense to me. Johnson County boy, it just makes sense to me that I want to get everything together and be sure that I'm like God wants it lined up. Because that's the only thing going to matter anyhow. The nearest that this peanut mind can do, I should try my best to line them up biblically so God will be pleased with it. He knows where I would or would not. He'll help me do it biblically if I would seek his face. By the way, that's the only way I can do it, and that's the only way any of us can do it this side of eternity. So again, God knows our thoughts. His holiness and his righteousness condemns us if we do not walk in that environment. Yet his grace and his love redeems us when we are unholy. When we are unrighteous. What a balance to know in life that I've been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. He's justified me, and so has you if you're saved. He's declared us right so we can enter the portals of glory. Satan can't keep us out. But on the other hand, there's a life to live from the time we get saved till we get home. And it should show the ingredients balance, not only love and grace to win others, as Brother Keith talked about this morning, but it should show holiness and righteousness so we'll be before God clean and not condemned. Folks, listen. If we're not clean before God when we try to win a soul, then what's going to happen, we're going to be so condemned we can't witness. You just can't witness. Believe me, it's so. You can't witness when things are not where they ought to be. And that's one of the good things about thank God, repentance. Repentance is not something you only do one time and can't do it no more. Repentance is any time for a child of God whose heart is felt, the convicting that something is wrong. Maybe you didn't know it was wrong and find out later it's wrong. Thank God for repentance. Amen. Because we can make it right and then walk clean before God under those circumstances. So spiritually, we're naked before God as one before a surgeon physically is naked in the operating room. The only thing about it is we're naked before God all the times spiritually. He sees our heart. He sees our intent. He knows exactly not only what we think, but what we'll do with that thinking and where it'll lead us. God audits our thoughts. He rewards us according to what he finds hidden within us. That secret, such a joy, sing that song, that secret room that all of us have. And sometimes we just don't, Lord, everything but this. Lord, this is a problem. It bothers me, but he needs to have access to every channel of our mind. Nothing should be hid back from him whatsoever as far as our life is concerned. That secret place, room in our heart. Do not let evil thoughts ramble in your mind. You can't keep them out, but you can keep them from rambling. They'll cause you to rearrange things as a powerful guest, because they're always in the influence under Satan, and he's a liar from the begin with. Do not allow your mind to become a secret place for lust and fear and contamination and things in this life that takes us from God. And sometimes it does it gradually to the place you get way over here somewhere or another and look back and say, man, what's going on? I know things are not right. And you left God way over here somewhere or another in physical thinking. If you're saved, you can't never leave him. But you can lose your fellowship, and that's like leaving him. If you don't believe when fellowship is broken with God, it's not what it ought to be, you'll be as miserable as you were before you got saved. Because God's not going to, he'll be there. He's right there in the heart. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He's not an Indian giver. But I'll tell you another thing. He'll see to it that we don't enjoy the fellowship with him. And there's no place in this world as sweet as the fellowship with God. No, it'll settle everything. As you get older, I have a little trouble sleeping. See, like I'd sit down, I get home, and so tired, go right to sleep. Sit in my chair and go right to sleep. Wake up about 12 o'clock. Then I go to bed and I can't go to sleep. How many is like that? I know you most all of you are. And suddenly I can't go to sleep. And I count sheep and I pray and I do everything. I do everything, sometimes an hour or two before I can go to sleep. And then I just started singing songs to the Lord in my mind. I'm glad I don't have to say words for him to hear it. Just start singing songs in my mind. So now I make them up as I go. And I'll just sing, how good you are, God. How merciful you are. Praise be unto your name. Or I'll sing a song, Jesus, Jesus. And ain't long, I'm waking up at 7 o'clock in the morning. That's good. Amen. I should have got up at 6. Folks, I mean it. There's nothing like it. I got a long ways to go. God knows I got a long ways to go. But there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. The Holy Spirit challenges the thoughts of God's people and helps us reconstruct and construct them in life. I'm talking about thoughts in the womb of our mind. Keep in mind, in closing, keep in mind, your mind is the dark room where your self-portrait has been developed by God for others to see. Even though others may not see it, God does. It starts there. And listen to me, please listen to me. Where you are determines what you hear. And what you hear determines what you believe. So you need to watch some places that's trying to take God away from you in language and words and songs and other things. The Word of God in you becomes the energy of God in you by His Spirit. It's the Word of God the Holy Spirit uses to energize us for God to use us. And we need to keep in mind, if you are not a street cleaner, keep your mind out of the gutter completely, because he's the only one who has to think about the gutter if he cleaned it. You see what I'm saying? Physically. Our minds should stay out of the gutter. None of us are street cleaners. If you are, you've got to keep your physical mind in. That's why you won't clean the street good, the gutter in the street good. A person who has to clean this gutter in the street has to think physically of that gutter, it won't be clean. I know that. He said, it don't matter. Yes, it does matter. Because the gutters and streets should stay clean. You'll be watching the gutter where you go the next few weeks, I guarantee it. Well, there's a gutter of our mind, too. Satan wants us to get. That's where the filth and stuff goes. We're to keep it clean. And you have to do that by asking God to forgive us. And if Christ is on the throne of your mind and your heart, listen to me, then your past has been put on the cross, and it's dead. And dead things are buried, never to be remembered again. If you're not saved, you're still controlling your heart. You're still in control. But it makes no difference. The only way that Christ will ever come to sit on the throne of my heart, though he's died the death for all men, is for the individual to say, dear Jesus, you're right and I'm wrong. You said, if thou should confess that I'm out the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart God is raising the dead, thou shalt be saved. You're right and I'm wrong. And I asked you For whosoever is called on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I asked you to come into my heart. And God says, who cannot lie, I will. It's a merciful plea. It's a merciful plea. Paul told the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And all thy house. Not that the Philippian jailer got saved, all rest got. They could do the same thing. Could be saved. It's here starts. You hear the word of God, and we filter it through our mind, and it falls to the heart, and conviction begins to come. And we begin to say, no, it ain't right, it ain't right. He's just a preacher. All preachers do the same. No, all preachers don't preach what I'm preaching right now. But I'm saying to you, that's the thinking of man, and then suddenly we close our mind to the truth, and we walk away saying, that's just a bunch of what. But when you open your heart and mind, and God brings in, and you get in this book, you'll begin to find, hey, those people are not like I thought they were. You know why? Because Satan had been lying to you for years. John 8 says that he's a murderer and a liar. He's the author of lies, and he's nothing but, 844, read it, nothing but a liar. I'm glad I met the truth, aren't you? Where the Bible says that Satan is the liar and author of lies and is a liar himself, it also says that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And anyone who comes to him can be a child of God. I'm glad I met the one who can help me with this wicked mind till I get home. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this book. Thank you for people who graciously come and sit and listen. Father, help them not to be bored. Help them not to just take it with a grain of salt and forget it. May they open their mind, not let it be a vacant lot for anyone to feel things in, but open their mind to the intent of God's word to reach it. Instead of hearing just words from man, may they, dear Father, hear the voice of God. May they read the scriptures that we've read, and the Holy Spirit open the heart up and give them the energy by the word to believe the record that God gave of his son. That's what 1 John 5 says. Please help someone today. Dear Lord, here or by radio or through in a few minutes, even by their website going up, if someone's seeing it later, we're talking about our mind. Help us keep it clean. Lord, it doesn't mean that we can't go through this life every day. We see so much. We hear so much. But please help us keep it clean. Help us know when to let something rest in it and something not to. Help us learn to control it with your help. You promised to help us, Lord. I'm glad you love us before we were saved. I'm glad you love us since we're saved. And you love us in spite of ourselves. And Father, you'll help us. You'll go out of the way to help us to live for you as much so you went out of the way to help us get saved. Help someone see the day. The most important thing in the world is to try with our weak little way to please you rather than man. And when we do that, men will take note, you said, that we've been with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.